going on down there?
Table or a bingo. Thank you.
All right, here we go.
Distracting.
I know. Kind of a blast. But we can stop because the announcements are short and sweet.
Yeah. Let's move a bit closer to you here. Give me a test.
Hi, how are
two.
You? Test one. Test one.
That's looking good.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. This is WTF at TFW. I am Vangelis, and I am joined today by our special guest, Mr. Gary Chalk.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing, sir?
Actually, well, we're getting pretty close to the end of the con, and I've got con lag. I'm a little bit exhausted. I've been signing autographs and meeting people all day and all night, and it's been very, very fun. Lots of excitement, a lot of great displays and some great costumes and a bunch of great people. So it's been a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And thank you very much, by the way, for joining us, because this is actually our very first on-floor recording.
Oh,
great. We're pulling this off guerrilla style.
Good times. I like that.
So you've been to a couple of BotCons before. You've been to TF Cons before.
Yeah.
You were actually at one of my first BotCons way back in the early 2000s.
In Chicago or North Carolina?
I think Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. That was a great, fun one.
Yeah, that was a while back. So,
funny, I have the funniest memories of that particular con. The one that you're talking about, that's where I had a fellow with a long black leather overcoat and a samurai sword came up to me and said, "Mr. Chuck, I will not leave your side. I am going to be your bodyguard for this whole weekend." And I went, no, looked like, you know, Columbine all over. I didn't want him to go chopping people up.
Oh, God.
And then there were some funny adventures in that show, but it was a lot of fun. By and large, we had a great time.
Awesome. Yeah, I always remember from that show, you actually gave a great follow-up on a story that Ian Corlett and Alec Willis and Venus Terzo had told a couple years earlier about the legendary Coke foam belch. And I still have that on a mini disc somewhere. I've been meaning to get that up.
The Coke flow, that happened once, and it has never, ever happened again. It was a freak of nature. And what had happened was they'd asked me to do a big belch in a show. I think it was... I think it was Captain Zed in the Dream Patrol. And I had a can of Coke with me, and I drank the Coke. And he said, "Get ready for the belch." And I said, okay, here we go, belch. And I drank the Coke, and I went to belch. And it just came out this huge foamy bubble of Coke. Hit my script, and I went, and it all went back and didn't leave a single drop on the page. And everybody fell about laughing, and we could not get back in shape for at least a half an hour. It was the oddest, craziest thing you have ever seen. It was like watching something really freaky on YouTube, you know what I'm saying? But it was really something.
Sounds like one of those times you wish that there were cameras in the recording booth. Makes you wish there were cameras in the recording booth just for that moment.
Oh, yeah,
one
just
moment.
For that moment. They would have that would have been immortalized forever and ever and ever. But
yeah.
I could never repeat it. Even if I tried to do it, I couldn't do it.
Probably be unhealthy to try doing that a couple times. But since you've been to conventions this long, like how are you still finding it? Like now we're in 2012, and the fandom has grown, the fandom has changed. There are live action movies with the murderous Optimus Prime.
And I'm finding it's going generational. Mm-hmm. You know, there are kids who've had kids who are now going, you know, my kids. I turn my kids onto this, and my kids love this. Yeah. And I see them here today and all weekend, and I'm going, you know. 30 years ago, when I very first started, you know, working in the cartoons, if someone had said I'd be here, sitting here doing this and meeting fans, I would have went, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm just a working actor, you know, a blue collar actor. That's all I do, and been doing that all my life. And to be a part of something like this is. Something that very few actors get to do, and they have the opportunity to be blessed by being a part of it. And so I thank the stars every day that I can be here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's quite fun.
And are you thinking of coming back to TFCon sometime?
If they invite me, yes. But I was there last year, so I don't think I'll be there this year. But they might bring me back next year. You never know. But
we've got Scott McNeil showing up this year, so should we be on guard for anything in particular? We've got Scott McNeil coming by this year, so should we be on guard for anything? Is Scott McNeil a character we should be watching out for in Canada here?
Well, you know, he is a wild man, and he has an entourage who are fiercely protective of him, so you got to be careful when you approach him, because he's got like 50 to 100, we call them McNeilites. They're young, impressionable women who chase after him all through the conventions and follow him from town to town.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting seeing them showing up in Toronto in this saga.
Oh, yeah, he'll have a great time. And you'll have a great time with Scott. Scott is an absolute riot. I've been working with Scott now since 89 was the first time I worked with Scott McNeil in the show was, funnily enough, He-Man. Mm-hmm. And he played Rimshot? What was his name?
That's Rimshot. The New Adventures He-Man, I believe, right?
Like the New Adventures of He-Man.
Yeah.
And God, we had fun. It was just the best time, and we became friends, good friends over there over the years after that, and have worked on many, many, many shows since then.
Awesome, and it's always great to have you around at these conventions. I do have a question I often have for folks who come to BotCon or any other show. You guys do a lot of autograph signings. What's the strangest thing you signed this weekend, if at all?
The strangest thing I signed this weekend?
Yeah.
I signed somebody's wallet. That was the only strange thing I signed this weekend.
Themed wallet? Was it a themed wallet, or was
no,
it just
it
like a wallet?
No, it was their black, plain old wallet. You sign my wallet? I said, sure, okay. And I signed their wallet. But I've signed bums, boobs, stomachs.
I do have to ask, have you ever signed a baby?
No, I draw the line.
Okay.
I don't sign babies because, you know, felt pens are toxic and, well, maybe not, but there are some that aren't. But I only sign things where conscious sentient beings say, could you sign this? And if they're sentient, yeah.
You'll do it.
Babies don't have any choice, so I don't sign.
That's very fair and equitable.
Yes.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about was last TFCon, you actually you kept a lot of us quite enthralled with a lengthy guitar performance.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
In the bar. That was really cool. I was curious. I didn't get a chance to ask you then. Do you have music up available anywhere online or on disc?
No, there are YouTube videos of me performing in various places, but as far as set recordings, I have a documentary film coming out next year.
Oh, awesome.
That features me playing a few songs on it, and that'll be kind of cool because it was an engineered one, and that was very nice. Mm-hmm. I'm supposedly putting out a CD this year, and I'm still developing my style and everything. I performed many years ago, 30 years ago. I used to be in a blues band and sing a lot of different things. Actually, now it's 40 years ago.
Hmm.
And about 30 years ago, I packed it in because I was working on film and everything, and I didn't have time to pursue a music career. And then about 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I got rooked into performing by a friend of mine. And, of course, I was nervous as hell, and I didn't do it. And then I got up and did it, and he went, yeah, okay. And people liked it, so he'd keep coming back. And then as I did that, other people would see, and they'd say, you got to come and play at our place, and you do a set here and do a set there. So I just started playing around, and then all of a sudden, no. I often wonder why the hell I ever quit playing music, because it's the most fun you can have. I mean, it's just the best. And that impromptu concert in Toronto or in Mississauga at the TFCon was just that. Somebody brought a guitar, and I sat down and started playing, and I thought I'd play a couple songs. I ended up playing for about an hour or so.
Yeah.
And people really quite liked it. So that's what I've been doing with that.
That's fantastic. We were actually kind of wondering if it would happen again this year, but...
It might. It might.
You have the guitar present.
All I have to do is find the guitar. As soon as I find a guitar, have guitar, I will.
If the guitar is there,
I will play.
Put that in your contract for the next convention. Put that in the contract for the next convention. Provide guitar, we'll play.
Yeah, it's hard to find the time. You know, these things are so tightly regulated.
Very, very, like, tightly organized. I mean,
yeah,
like,
you know, bam, bam, bam. You go from here to here to here to here.
Well, we had the Hall of Fame dinner last night, and this morning you guys were out doing the script reading.
Yeah.
Which was very fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, the mics were all kind of getting bandy, but...
Well, the mics were... They were really bugging me because the batteries were worn out or the diaphragms were worn out, but they were coming.
We all thought for a second it was an effect they were putting on, like at first when.
That's what I thought, but no, it was the dead batteries.
It was a bummer, but on the bright side, like you were at first when your mic was starting to die down, you were just getting the lines out loud enough. I was able to hear it from across the room still.
Well, see, that's just the advantage of being a classically trained actor. When you're working in the theater, the people in the back row are paying for their seats as well. So they have to, you know.
Yeah.
So you just project, and hopefully they're hearing it, because I noticed that about halfway through the reading, my microphone just went.
Yeah. Wilted.
I thought, oh, I've got to get louder.
No, it helped a lot. You guys seemed like you were operating pretty well, just in terms of, all right, not all these mics are working. We've identified the ones that work.
Yeah.
Pass those around. And
let's hang with it, bub. Let's hang with it. And that's what we did. Yeah. So everything's cool.
It looks like you're having fun, though. And you definitely, I felt, were having a lot of fun at that Q&A panel yesterday when it got...
Oh, yeah.
You guys got the, hey, guys, can you do that thing for us, like, you know, four or five times in a row?
Yeah.
You stuck with it really well, I think, because I know that can get a little bit wearying when
well,
you get enough of that happening.
I got lost a little bit because sometimes I just can't hear the questions.
Yeah.
You know, especially when they're way in the back and you hear... What? You can't hear them. And especially when people are shy.
Yeah.
They don't want to... So it comes in with people who are talking. You can't understand them. Belch it out, babies, and then we'll all hear the question.
I really enjoyed, actually, last TFCon when some folks were just, they weren't able to get their voice into the mic. You actually just walked over and were like, all right, let's just have the conversation face-to-face.
Yeah.
That was fun to watch.
Well, it was great fun. I just had a blast at that one. Mm. That was really fun. I got to ride in a Batman car, so.
Yeah.
Hey.
Awesome.
Doesn't get any better than that, I'm sorry to say.
And I really enjoy also just you've over the years, you have a really great convention attitude, I find. Like, especially that Q&A. I was just enjoying at the end when you were just starting to go, like, all right, questions. You over there! Shout your question out! While Andy's running around with the microphone.
Oh, that was Mark. Mark, whatever his last name is. Was a guy I'd seen before.
Yeah.
And I saw him in the front, and he was... I was all yelling out. And it was good, and because that's what you do. You have to include everybody in the discussion and make it fun. Because if you're just going, and then in 1982, I went here, and then in 1984, I stood on a thing, and then in 1985, I go, shut up. Oh, what's for lunch? You know, you got to make it entertaining and have fun, and well.
Yeah.
David and I usually have a pretty fun time when we do it, but for whatever reason, I think we just got lost in the size of the room or the questions. When you can't hear the questions exactly clearly, you're sort of guessing at what they want.
Yeah, you kind of hear specific words like,
yeah,
like
go,
couch.
So you want me to do a poem about pterosaurs? Okay. It was fun, though. Had a good time.
Yeah, I was laughing. Like, the whole bit about stuff your characters would never say. That I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, moron! But, yeah. No,
at that point, fun. Myself and a couple other folks in the audience were starting to do this when we heard someone say, can you say? So,
Can you say? No. Anyway. Next question. Can you? No.
There was apparently a fantastic moment. Buster Jones got the drive-thru question.
Yeah.
And replied, they said, can you say this going to the drive-thru? And he paused and said, why?
Why not? Oh, yeah. Like a vegetable salad, please, and some bananas, because it's fun. Give this man a big hunk of meat.
I do want to ask you, you mentioned a documentary film about yourself, like a biography film?
Yeah, it's called The Open Mic. It's called Open Mic.
Yeah.
And it's about the subculture of open mic artists who perform at various clubs and coffee bars and whatnot. Mm. And they just do it for the fun of it. And through that, I have met some amazing artists. There was this gal who was a Canadian Idol finalist named Carly Rae Jepsen. And she's now been taken on Justin Bieber's label. Well, Justin Bieber took her in under his contract to perform. And I performed with her at a little coffee shop. And we did a version of George on My Mind that a guy from Virgin Radio phone said, that's the best version of that song I've ever heard. We got to have that. You got to record that. Mm-hmm. So you'll find these gems, and a guy named Don Alder, the best acoustic guitar player in the world, and we'll sit down at Darby's Bar on Sunday night and play a set, and it's for nothing, just for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and for 15 patrons in the bar, or, you know, sometimes it's full, you know.
Yeah.
It happens, but... So it's basically a documentary about that movement, because there are a lot of aspiring artists, musicians who perform at these things, who later on become, you know, big stars.
I love that kind of open mic stuff, or even just the, we're going to have a concert.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a venue, we're going to have a concert. Amanda Palmer does that quite a bit. She's tweeted about just showing up in a town saying, hey guys, guess what? Surprise concert here in this place.
Yeah, let's play.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun. It's really great. My friend Blake Howard is out of Nashville. He's been playing at these various places. Now, we're playing on Wednesday night at a theater called The Rio in Vancouver. And Don and Blake, myself, and a couple other performers are going to be performing for a TV show. They decided to come in, and we're gonna film this and try and make a TV show out of it.
Awesome.
So we said, okay, cool. So you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
So if folks want to keep track of this stuff, you can check your Facebook page?
You can go to my Facebook fan page, or you can go to my Facebook page, or you can go to YouTube and just Google. There's lots of stuff there. You can
awesome.
Follow me around all over the place.
Well, it's been a pleasure doing the interview.
Yeah.
And it's also been a pleasure following you on Facebook. It's always fun to see you posting, and I really appreciate how often you interact with folks. Like it's nice to see just someone who is a face of the media that gets out there and is not, you know, just walking around on a high plane going looking down now and then. Like
no.
You're
just
nose
come
deep
out and
right
say
in there.
Hi and meet everybody. Because all you have to remember is it's the people that come to these cons that make your career. Without them, there is no show. Mm-hmm. It's just like the old song, Rain-O, Rain-O, fall upon the earth again. Make it cool, make it good, make the river, fill the pool, quench the thirst of every fool and every sage and every soul, sour soul who's lost so much they don't know his need. You know, without no audience, it just ain't no show. You know, and that's an old song from a band called Chilliwack, way back when. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Without an audience, there's no show.
Oh.
And that's what we like.
And I want to thank our own audience here. I feel bad I didn't have you guys, like, all knee-deep in the conversation. Gog, Seth, Aaron, say something. Be in on the recording for a second at least.
Oh, can I ask you a question? A couple
yes.
questions? Everybody talks really highly of your appearance at TFCon last year.
Yes.
I think more so of just the smaller, more intimate nature, just it being a smaller convention and
right.
everybody gets to spend time in the bar and stuff. Like, which do you prefer? Because it's definitely, seems to me, from your perspective, it would be two drastically different convention experiences as a convention goer. You have this, like, you literally just have thousands of people here,
yeah.
and they've been fans of your work, and then at TFCon, it seems to be a bit smaller, and, like, Which do you prefer yourself?
Well, it all depends. I mean, the how much energy you put out. With a smaller con, of course, you're going to be not interacting as much. I mean, you're going to meet everybody, but there's not that many.
Right.
But in some of the bigger cons, I mean, I could walk from the autograph session to outside across the dealer's room and be stopped like 50, 100 times and take pictures and sign autographs and just say a few words and that. So it'd take me like half an hour to get from one side of the room to the other or get out in the hallway or whatever. So you expend a lot of energy in the larger cons. And some of the conventions that I've been to, they keep you sequestered.
Yeah.
So you're sequestered in the green room, and then when it's your time to come out to do the autographs or to do the panel, then you go. And then as soon as you finish, bang, you're back into the green room. That's so people don't snipe photos and whatnot, because the convention charges for those things, right?
Yeah.
And so in that way, I mean, each one of them has their own merits, but I really don't care how big they are.
Yeah. One thing I always notice, too, and it's really interesting, because we've interviewed several people over the years over different conventions and stuff, and, like, from your perspective, you just have guys coming up to you saying, hey, can I get an interview? Can I stick a camera in your face? Can I stick a microphone? And just seeing you, from when we started this interview to now, you seem to be a totally different Gary. You seem to be much more relaxed and calm. Maybe calm is the wrong word, but you seem to be a little more...
focused?
Open. Not even focused, but a little more open and comfortable.
Right.
And, like, how does that feel, like, even just, like, being in the convention? Like, there's the Gary that puts on his game face, because that's the Gary that you step into the room and you have this kind of moment where you're just like... you have to get a feel for what's going on, and then comfortability, like...
Well,
can you explain that a little bit?
Is that if, like, here we're having an interview. Now, if I was to have the same kind of interview with every single person that I ran into or stopped me on the floor or out in the hallway, I'd be there all day long.
Yeah.
Just talking, to have no voice left at the end of the day. So you have to find ways because I like to meet the people and say hello, but I just cannot afford or have the time to spend in a long conversation with them, because there are just too many people. I mean, you work it out, a minute per person, even in the autograph line, that's like three, four hours.
It feels like there must be a strange balance between it being work and it being a personal enjoyment.
Yeah, there is a bit of a balance. Yeah. There are sometimes, like at the end of the con, getting close to the end of the convention, oh man, you're so tired, you just don't want to do anymore because you're like, as you say, you're on. You got your game face on from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. You're always being up and being open and receptive to everybody that comes. And after a few days, you're just like,
yeah.
I'm done like dinner. I have nothing left to give. Like last night, I went to the casino thing, and I was there till about 10:30, quarter 11. And I just said, I got to go to bed. I just can't stay awake anymore. I'm just exhausted. And I went upstairs. I talked to my wife for a couple of minutes. And just gone.
Yeah, I have to imagine... it's got to be kind of interesting as a voice actor, and people mostly know you by voice. I'd have to imagine, like, the whole rest of your life, you could just walk the streets and everything's normal. And then you come to a place like this, and you're like, Gary Chalk, rock star.
Yeah.
Well, so you get, I can imagine it's interesting because you get to get that celebrity and fame, love, and then, like, okay, I'm going to go home and be a normal guy now.
Yep. Because you take it for what it is. You know, the worst thing that could ever happen to you is to believe in your own publicity. If you ever do that, you're done. You'll just become a neurotic, crazy person, and you'll be always looking for that adulation. And I'm not going to make any bones about it. You come here, and people are just, they just make your ego go, like, sky high, and you go, wow, yeah, I know, this is great. But you know what it is. It's not you the person. It's what you represent, or what you see on screen or hear on the radio. And when I'm at home, I'm just Gary at home, you know, and my gal goes, "So, how's it going, Mr. God?" He says, "Well, it's good." He says, "Can you take out the garbage?" You know, it's basically like that. You've got to keep a separation between what's real and what's not. And as long as you hold on to that and maintain that balance, you'll be happy. I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years. And not cons and stuff, but I've been working in the entertainment field for 35 years. And that's why I had a great line for my book. If I ever write memoirs, it's going to be, "You're that guy." Confessions of an Almost Famous Actor. You know, because I get it every day. Someone will come up and say, "You're that guy. Did I sell you a car?" Or, "You were at my sister's wedding." Or, "No, I know you from somewhere." "No, I work on TV." "No, that's not it. It's something else." You know? "Yeah, I'm Gary Chalk. I work on a TV show." And, no, you're not. "Who are you?" It'll come to me. I'll come back. And so it's just become like a standing joke. And my gal just laughs at it. Because we'll be sitting in a restaurant or something. And I go, "You're that guy. Oh, love that show." You know, and then they just walk away. And she just goes.
Well, I think you should do a book and not, like, Dan Gilvezan get all the book credit from you guys. You should write a book so Dan Gilvezan doesn't get all the book adulation.
All the book adulation, yeah.
I love the bit in his preamble about, like, "I'm going to talk about some guys from the past. If you don't like what I say about you, go write your own books."
So, yeah, right. Well, most of the voiceover legends I've worked with, and they are legends, like David Kaye and Ian Corletta. Ian Corletta's not only the voice of Cheetor, but he's a prolific writer. I mean, he's written all these cartoon shows like Roly Poly Oly and Being Ian and various other shows. He's accomplished in all ways. And Scotty McNeil, of course, wanted me to write a book just about him. But yeah. And all the female voiceovers, the Venuses and the Kathleen Barr and all those people, they're fantastic.
So yes, talking about all that stuff, what's been your biggest ego kick moment over the weekend?
My biggest ego kick moment is when a guy who shall remain nameless walked up and grabbed me around the neck and said, thank you. "Thank you for being such a big part of my life. I'm going to miss you." And then he burst into tears and walked away.
Oh, wow, really?
I was, that was something.
That's got to be touching.
You see it, you know, every once in a while someone comes up to you and says, you know, there's lots of, like, you know, the one guy, "You're the dad I never had."
Oh, wow.
You know, things like that, and it gets you. You know, it makes you feel like, well, you have a responsibility and have to make a commitment and responsibility to those people, because you let them down and then their role model becomes another screw up.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want that.
Wow.
You don't want that. But it gives you a bit of a boost, but it also gives you, it makes you a little verklempt sometimes.
Yeah.
Know, because you don't realize how much a part of people's lives this stuff is. What do you say?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Or thanks.
Yeah.
You know.
I couldn't be imagine being put in this thing like that. I'd just be like,
what's going on?
Yeah.
You know. But it turned out okay.
Well, I mean, this whole show for you, I think it seems like it's gone pretty great. The whole convention thing, it seems to be it's
wonderful.
Like, I'm sure we'll see you again. You seem to be just way enjoying it.
Well, I think so. I think the fans, all the ladies and gentlemen that were here, enjoyed the show, and the BotCon seemed to be quite happy having me here. So, who knows? We'll come back again.
All right. Well,
it'll be fun.
Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
And I'm going to actually shake your hand because I didn't do that yet.
My pleasure. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, likewise. And
now, my friend Benson has been very, very patient over there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where is
he? No, he's waiting for me because we're going to go and grab a quick bite of lunch before I take off because I got to get on the plane.
Yeah, well, thanks again for working us into your very busy end of con time here.
My pleasure entirely.
And we'll let you know when this goes up.
Okay. All good, right. Man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you guys, thank you.
Thank you.
That was really, really fun. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators now here to stay.